This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So, a while ago, I found out about this new arts publication that technically lives online, but as soon as you get to the site, it feels like you've been transported to another version of this world. It's aptly called Jupiter Magazine. And the aesthetics are giving Purple Rain meets remote yoga retreat. All of this is my jam, so we invited the co-editors-in-chief on the show to talk about it, Camille Bacon and Daria Harper. Instead of me introducing them, I'll let them introduce each other. Here is Daria talking about Camille.
Camille is an absolute divine dynamo of a being. Camille is an absolute force. She is a poet.
And here's Camille on Daria.
Daria is an incredibly gifted, brilliant writer, not only of the written word, but also a writer of love, a writer of realities that I want to inhabit.
Ugh, what a dream team. Jupiter is an art criticism magazine and is grounded in Black feminism. The way it's set up, I feel like Camille and Daria are doing some paradigm shifting work. When they first met, which was just a little over a year ago, they realized they had a lot of the same complaints about their careers.
We were dealing with three shared concerns. The first was that art writers are not adequately paid. The second was that editors often expect this sort of like breakneck speed. And the last concern was that many editors do not really champion formal experimentation on the page.
So they decided to create the magazine they wanted to see. They launched the first issue earlier this year, and reading it, it makes being a writer or a cultural critic more accessible in a way. Like, maybe I could be a cultural critic. Or maybe I already am. And all of it feels really spiritual, too, like how they came up with the name. It came to Camille in the middle of the night.
One night I woke up and I just kept hearing Jupiter, Jupiter, Jupiter.
Talking to Camille and Daria, there's this sense of abundance. For instance, the magazine was never meant to be just a magazine.
In addition to publishing the first issue on January 18th of this year, we also devised a four-part film screening series that took place in Chicago in collaboration with Black Film Club and then Blanc Gallery. And that, I think, really allowed us to start to experiment with another key ethos of the magazine, which is this notion that cultural criticism is happening around us all the time. We're just not calling it that. Mm. So if we all went to watch, Tether by Kelechi Agunsha, which is one of the films we screened in our final iteration of the series, and we all have opinions about it or feelings about it and then share them with one another. Like, that is cultural criticism, even if it's not happening in a public capacity. And we're really invested in thinking about that language because it then allows more people to consider themselves as quote unquote art people, as people who not even necessarily in the framework of like authority, but feel like emboldened and autonomous in not only having an opinion, but like believing and trusting in it enough to then share it with other people.
Yeah. Yep. I know this whole project is grounded in y'all both being students of Black feminism. So I'm wondering, Daria, if you can talk about who are some of the people and artists that you have modeled when you think about Black feminism and art criticism.
Immediately, the two folks that I must name are Jessica Lynn and Taylor Aldridge, who are
the co-founders. Hey, Taylor, what's up, Detroit
House? Right, exactly.
I saw Taylor Aldridge. I was like, oh, I know her.
You already know.
Oh, that the queen so mothers.
Yes, absolutely. Queen mothers, blueprints, guides, and shepherds in such invaluable ways. Jessica and Taylor co-founded Arts.Black about a decade ago, which is the first journal that is championing Black arts criticism. And so, again, you know, as Camille and I really set out and we're thinking about what this publication could do and, you know, how we wanted it to sort of function in the world, we looked to Jess and Taylor and have been, you know, so grateful, like I said, to be really shepherded and guided, and to lean on and kind of be held within this lineage and really just have, like, I think a completely expanded sense of like what this shaping work can do. I also think of other incredible authors and, you know, mothers in this work. Thinking of Toni Morrison, who's someone who both Camille and I return to constantly, daily. Even thinking about the sort of origins of the publication itself, both of us came to this sort of moment or quote that Toni Morrison spoke when she was working on The Bluest Eye, which is that if there's a book that you want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it. And that's really a core anchoring, you know, sort of ethos that we return to when it comes to thinking about Jupiter. Also thinking about Octavia Butler, who I think was someone early on who expanded my sense of, which was already a very rich imagination, but again, this ability to dream and to vision and to understand my own capacity to shape a reality beyond what might be prescribed or what I might have sort of set in these sort of direct and almost limited ways. And so also it's, I think one thing I'm really enjoying right now is thinking about the ways that these, you know, these writers and their sort of poetic sensibilities or poetic ways of living are always in dialogue and always about art, always about culture, even without maybe explicitly being that. And I think that's something that I've been deriving a lot of joy from recently, is kind of understanding the ways that all of these things are wrapped up in one another.
Yeah. It feels like a lot of the way that you're thinking about writers in this and readers is really speaking to the spirit, you know, and
Camille.
Yeah, Camille, I know that you're also a yoga teacher and y'all are both yoga practitioners and, you know, y'all my people. And I'm wondering where spirituality comes into this for you. Can you speak to that explicitly here, Camille?
100%. And I think it actually relates to the question about our Black feminist origins too, because Black feminism is something we relate to in a really theological kind of way. Like, this is almost a religion or a faith for us.
Yes.
But the other thing is that when we're talking about shifting industry standards, there's a kind of like de-spiritualization that happens when we're speaking about things that we have come to believe are narrowly intellectual. Mm-hmm. And this is our refusal of that paradigm.
So there's a video on your about page, the only thing on the page, that really struck me.
Jupiter Magazine acknowledges that art is a medicinal force, an antidote to apathy, a remedy for interpersonal separation, and an offering against amnesia. Thus, we also know that art writing extends the healing potentiality of art itself.
You also talk in that video about art as cosmic catharsis. And all of it is just like this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 punch. Like, it really struck. What if you can talk about what pieces of that video you would pull out and really highlight when it comes to how you think about what you're creating with Jupiter Magazine?
First of all, I'm so glad that this, you know, film piece resonated with you, because it was such a joy to create and to collaborate with the dear friends and artists that we did to craft it. Within that video, Camille and I are together reciting our core pillars, which yes. are the sort of anchoring foundation of what Jupiter is, this spirit, this entity, as Camille described it before. And I think it just, for me, really ties beautifully also to this question that you posed prior about the role of spirit and thinking about the ways that art does exist or function as this medicine or almost as this life force, thinking about mm-hmm. the ways that breath is imbued within each of us, but also within everything, everyone around us, through mm-hmm. this ability to create, to make life, to express, and to really craft something from what might often feel like a source of like complete depletion.
I know, Camille, you were talking about how much more, this is meant to be. And mm-hmm. yeah, tell me about the vision for the future.
Absolutely. This is my favorite thing to do. Thank you for this question. Right now, of course, it exists as a magazine, but we also have our public programs. Mm-hmm. And this is a little hint and spoiler of what is coming down the pipeline for the summer. So we've been experimenting with the idea of like what would happen if we quote unquote peeled criticism off the page. So our third issue will still be called a magazine, but it will be heavy duty programming across the entire country as a way to continue with this experiment of like cultural criticism is happening all around us. It populates the air around us all the time. We're just not calling it that. But then eventually we want a home for Jupiter. We want a physical home for all of these kind of activities and co-thinking moments to happen. So we have ambitions of a brick and mortar space in Chicago that we imagine, again, as a place where ideas, artwork, moments of collective visioning can really inhabit. And so that is kind of coming maybe like 5 years down the pipeline, but ultimately we're building an institution. We wish for Jupiter to be an institution that has the dexterity to meet the needs of not only writers, but also artists, musicians, thinkers, et cetera, healing practitioners, all of those folks that are so sacred to us. And then we also have ambitions of a print issue, which will come out in May of 2025 because we are analog girls and we believe deeply. Yes. Yes. And like have this real deep belief in the value of the haptic of what happens when we can touch the things that we're learning from. And that's also why we want to have a physical space, because something happens, a certain kind of magic can be conjured when we are all kind of like exchanging breath with
Very
one another.
True. So real.
And we want Chicago to be replete with many different homes for artists and writers and thinkers. And I think, there's a sense of safety within the magnitude of this aspiration because of our grounding in spirit. There's no time to play the game of, is this possible? There's just not time.
Yes. It's giving church. What does it mean to anchor this in Chicago when so much of the cultural conversation does focus on the coastal cities?
I think I'd love to note, this is something that Camille and I talk about a lot, but it's this notion that we call from bell hooks, which is the sort of phrase or notion of moving to the margins and claiming it a center and thinking about the ways that, you know, I think it does serve very particular entities or maybe individuals to kind of keep this, as we say, like sort of coastal hubs or these particular anchors for what art and culture or maybe cultural production on a larger scale, keeping things anchored in that way. But we also know that there has always existed a real wellspring of divine offering across registers within the home of Chicago. Of course, Camille is a Chicago native, and so I will let you rep your set in a moment.
Absolutely.
Because I already know that, yeah, that it's coming. But I also have roots within Chicago. My mother and my maternal side of my family is from the south side of Chicago. So I've grown up really being nurtured, fed, held, and rooted in this environment as well. And I think from the beginning, Camille and I really wanted to think about what it means to think about extension or lengthening or deepening in a real way. And in so many ways, you know, you think about these, again, hubs or these kind of areas where there tend to be a pouring of resources or this kind of concentration in a way, where ultimately what we're interested in is dispersing that and making it so that there are, you know, wider channels of connection, of, I think, generative thought, of production, that can really be happening, again, like across an ecosystem rather than this kind of echo chamber that exists in a kind of siloed off way.
Absolutely. I love what you brought up about bell hooks's thinking about the margins and the center. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of another Toni quote that we always talk mm-hmm. about from her Nobel lecture, where she talks about mm-hmm. how she claimed the margin as center and waited for the rest of the world to move over to where she was. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really based in a desire to create something that allows creative people in Chicago to realize they can stay here to actualize their ambitions, that they don't need to export themselves left or right to New York or LA or elsewhere in order to really satiate their creative impulses.
Camille Bacon and Daria Harper are the co-editors-in-chief of Jupiter Magazine. Camille, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Daria, thank you.
Thank you. This has been incredible.
To get into Jupiter Magazine, you can head to jupiter-mag.com. And that's it for today. Thanks to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Cleve for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer, and our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love the show, you can rate us, you can review us, you can leave us some words of encouragement or praise. If you do that on Apple Podcasts, I'll give you a shout out on the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.